You're listening to Dots, Lines, and Destinations, a travel podcast with hosts Stephen Seagraves, Foz Mamoon, and Seth Miller.
So welcome back to another special edition of Dots, Lines, and Destinations. This is Seth hosting this week and recording this episode in the suburbs of Chiang Mai, Thailand. We are directly under the departure path from the Chiang Mai airport, so apologies if you hear, or congratulations if you hear some airplane sounds in the background every now and then. We got a couple an hour here. But going to take a slightly different tack on today's show, and I'm joined by a special guest, Lauren Lancey, who's the founder of The Kind Craft. And that's a, I'll let her explain what it is, because I'll do a terrible job of it, I'm sure. But Lauren has been in Southeast Asia for 5 years now, living sort of the expat life, but also running a business and making things happen here. So her travel her travel life is almost diametrically opposed to mine, I feel like, in some ways. But in other ways, there's always a little bit of overlap in all of these things. We were commenting before the show how we both depend so heavily on TripIt, for example, to keep track of where we're going and where we've been. But Lauren, welcome to the show. Explain The Kind Craft, and then let's talk a little bit about some of your travels that are related to that.
Hi, Seth. Thanks so much for having me. It's quite an honor. The Kind Craft is a platform to celebrate makers, you know, focusing on craft design and sustainability primarily. So this is a project that is actually in existence because of travel. I came to Southeast Asia for the first time when my husband Justin and I did a trip around the world in 2010. And it was then that I started to kind of start to see heritage craft for the first time and start to understand Asian textiles, or at least, you know, the initial inspiration points for me. So, you know, a couple of years after that initial experience in Asia, we actually moved over and, you know, I'd left my design job in New York and knew that I wanted to do something with artisans here, but the platform came about a year after we moved over.
Nice. So a couple questions to keep it, you know, in the parallels of my travel experiences. The round the world trip that started this all, was it an award trip?
Yeah, actually. Okay.
Good use of points.
That's a question. No, sorry, it wasn't an award trip. So I'm luckily married to a travel hacker. Justin's one that usually plots all of these, you know, different moves. And
okay.
So that was, I think, our first experience with long-term travel. We did, around the world in 80 days, pretty much.
Oh, nice. So proper length trip.
Yeah, yeah. So instead of having a big wedding, we had a big honeymoon.
Nice.
So we just did a dinner party wedding in Brooklyn. And then we did, 13 countries, 24 cities in about 3 months.
Wow.
So that was that first experience I had in Asia where I fell in love with heritage craft and textiles and the culture that surrounds all of these beautiful artifacts.
Nice. And I should also point out that despite the fact we both lived in New York City for several years, we only met when you guys moved to Asia.
Yeah, but you and Justin were Twitter buddies,
right? We were Twitter buddies, but we only met in person. We actually met in person for the first time the day you guys arrived in Laos on that first trip, which I still can't get over.
I'm pretty blown away that our first moment in Laos when we moved there, just completely, you know, just jumping off, trying this new thing. You were the first person to welcome us to Laos when we moved there. So,
you know, bring a little bit of New York with you as a welcome committee.
Yeah, absolutely.
Travel planning. When I go somewhere, it's generally, and it's not always, but it's generally, okay, that was a cheap ticket. Wow, there's a deal to go to who knows where. It's worked pretty well for me so far. It's that or there's a trade show for me. I have conferences that I attend a certain number of. But I usually don't figure out what I'm going to do till I get there. It's sort of I'm very haphazard about a lot of those things. The number of hotel bookings I make after leaving the airport on arrival is shockingly high. You know, hoping that the room will be ready in the 30 minutes between when I leave and when I get there. So I get the impression that your travel is very different from that. It's much more structured and planned, but not necessarily that, but like targeted. You have, I'll say, a good reason to go as opposed to just being stupid like I am. So,
well, my travel is very focused, very deliberate, and it's almost always design focused.
Okay.
So as a designer, I'm really curious about traveling to places to meet with artisans or to get inspiration from a cool city and find out what's trending, what's happening, or a trip is very much about going to do a project with an artisan. Like I recently just took a trip to India to do block printing. That was also a visa run because when you live in Thailand as a foreigner, you can't stay for more than 90 days at a time. So that was actually more of a spontaneous trip for me, but I thought, Jaipur, block printing. All right, I'll go and I'll do that and I'll do a project there.
But that wasn't the first time you've been to Jaipur. That was not the first time you've written about block printing even.
Right. We were there about 2 years ago at the first time, and we did an article on the Kind Craft about Bagru textiles. And so I'd been wanting to go back and hadn't found the time. So when Justin said he wanted to go to the Jaipur Literary Festival, which was his reason for traveling, I said, great, I'll go and I'll get some of these prints that I've been wanting to do done while you're at the Literary Festival. So we're very focused about our travel because it's content for the magazine or it's a design project for me.
So you were there a couple of years ago. You went back to get these prints done. Are these artisans that you keep in touch with over the years and like keep going, or is it sort of, okay, I'm going back, I got to find someone?
No, it was a specific block printer.
Okay.
So, we had gone to India as an exploratory trip 2 years ago and met him and then subsequently written the article about him, which is one of our highest performing articles on the online magazine. So, as a designer, I also wanted to do a project. So I, designed some prints and went over and had some samples done. So those things are hopefully in production right now. A lot of our trips are very much about doing a project with an artisan and or going for stories. And some of it is going and just finding out, like you said. I don't always have a plan, but the plan is always to do something design focused. So, we might travel around Japan, for example. Mm-hmm. And I had heard that Mashiko is the home of Shoji Hamada, who's this, the founder of the Menge folk art movement. And so I'd go there, maybe thinking that I would do a report, but going to explore and see what it is. And I did actually do a report. So a lot of what the Kind Craft is sharing what I find on my travels about art and design with our readers.
Awesome. So, yeah, it's interesting to me, this like the idea of this sort of long-term building these relationships and building up the reason to be in some of these places.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose I have some that I go back to over and over again where there's a long-term reason to be there, but it doesn't feel nearly as personal as yours sound like they are.
Yeah, well, I feel like I've developed relationships with cultures. I'm really interested in Japanese culture, Indian culture, Thai culture, as it relates to craft but food and creativity and, the personalities of all these places. Don't you feel sometimes like you make friends with a city and you kind of feel like, oh, Paris is this type of friend and London is that type of friend. And I really miss like being in Thailand where, we could just like hang out and have some Thai food.
It's funny you say that. Earlier this week, we were down in Bangkok, mm-hmm. Had my conference there before we came up here to visit you guys. And I went out, as I always do, rode the ferry. I rode the ferry on the Chao Phraya. It's my way of sort of getting a cool breeze, first of all, because you're moving on the water and it's not nearly mm-hmm. stifling hot. But also, it's my way of sort of seeing the city and keeping sort of, grounded, except you're on a boat, that connection. And there's something to me that's special about hearing the guy with the whistle.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who haven't been, basically, there's two people that work the ferry, or three. There's the person who collects your money, mm-hmm. who walks up and down the middle of the ferry shaking a can of coins. So you hear this, like, clink, clink, clank as she walks by to get your money. There's the guy driving the boat, who's up at the front that you never deal with. And there's another guy at the back who works the rope.
Mm-hmm.
And every time the ferry pulls up to the dock, he ties the rope off. The engine pops in reverse and holds the boat against the dock. And then when it's done unloading and reloading, they release the engine. Boat starts to float forward. They pull the rope off. And then they gun the engines. They move forward. The process of slowing down, hitting it in reverse, and then releasing and going forward is controlled by whistles.
Mm-hmm.
And there's these three different sounds of the whistle. And like, that to me is like, weirdly, that sound is like the friend. That's how I describe my feeling of Bangkok, is having that connection. And it's ridiculous, but like, that's what I think about Bangkok. That's sort of a defining characteristic of it for me. So I get where you're going with like this emotion, this connection, this sort of like characteristic or personality of every city and or country or place.
Yeah, because like when you go to a city, you have these places you go back to. And they feel familiar, and it feels sort of warm and cozy in the way that, hugging your friend feels warm and cozy, It's like you've sort of like missed that scene, those sounds, those sights, those flavors, and when you don't get there, you miss it almost like you miss a person.
Yeah. It's interesting, is there's a trigger though, is I sort of, I miss, if I didn't go on the ferry, I would miss it, but I wouldn't miss it if I wasn't in Bangkok.
Yeah.
Like I have to be there for that to trigger. If I go mm-hmm. to Hamburg, there's certain things, and I've been, many times now for work reasons and a couple for fun,
mm-hmm.
but there's certain little things I do every time. And when I'm not there, I don't think about them as much. Mm-hmm. But when I'm there, until I go ride the ferry over to the Airbus site, which is just a nice cruise on the river or whatever, mm-hmm. I feel like I haven't been there yet.
Yeah.
So it's I do get what you're saying about that. It's mm-hmm. it's really an interesting way to think about travel in that sense.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. Like, we've got these familiar places that we return to, but I don't know. How do you feel sometimes? Like, it takes a lot to surprise you anymore. I kind of miss the days where I was like really new in a place, and there was stuff that was like, wow, just absolutely mind blowing. But once you've sort of seen the kind of South Asia is, and the way Southeast Asia is, and the way North America is, you kind of get that flavor already. So I don't feel that newbie surprise so much anymore.
You're that jaded after 5 years of living here? Come on.
No. Maybe I just need some new destinations. I don't know, but it's
I do know what you mean.
Yeah.
In some ways, I've somewhat stupidly and foolishly have, you know, claimed from time to time, Europe's just too easy.
Yeah.
Like Western Europe, and there's a collection of countries and cities at this point that it's like, I went to Europe 12 times last year. That was a lot.
Yeah.
For me, much less for anyone. But like you go to Frankfurt, you go to Hamburg, you go to Paris, you go to London. Like, okay, yeah, I can go through those. I know how to get through those cities. I have an Oyster card for London that I just leave in my bag in case I happen to be there. Right. Like I have the card. Actually, I also have the card for Bangkok. So I'm,
but like, we've always got these piles of things that we need as international
travels.
Sure.
And like the pile, your travel pile. Like, I've got, you know, the currency and the metro cards for all these cities around the world. But like,
yeah. And then, of course, when you show up, like, you don't have it.
You're missing it, right? So the trick is that having it in the right bag at the right time. But yeah, I do get what you mean about sometimes it's just this, not quite going through the motions, but it's a level of familiarity and easiness.
Mm.
Which usually is a good thing,
yeah.
In my mind, right? It's at some point travel isn't supposed to be this like horrible
battle. But
don't
you wish you could go back to that time, like the first time you saw India and you were just blown away? Like, I can never like go to India for the first time ever again. You can go to different regions and you can like try different cuisines, but it's all still India. Like that first time, you kind of feel like, wow, this is amazing.
So I have spectacularly vivid memories still of my first time in India. Some of them were a little unpleasant digestively, so I don't necessarily want to relive that first time.
Right.
But don't lick your fingers. Pro tip. Don't lick your fingers, and if you do, bring the Cipro. I do get what you're saying of like having that, this is a wholly new experience. Mm. I'm, you know, truly, truly excited to see what's about to happen.
Mm.
Even the general familiarity of travel, though, I feel like as quote unquote normal as all that is.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of my buddies was saying when we had drinks a couple weeks ago, like, it's so crazy that you do all this travel, you know, your life is so weird and this and that. Like, well, it's normal for me.
Yeah. Sure.
At the same time, like, you know, there's one of those airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, normal doesn't mean necessarily steady. It doesn't mean consistent. It doesn't mean this exact same experience every time. And that's, I'm of two minds about travel. One of the things I love about it is generally, the airplane part at least, is very consistent.
Yeah.
You get on board, you squeeze yourself into your tiny seat. You know what the announcements are going to be. You know what the engine, if you do it enough, you know what the engines sound like. You know what all these little bumps are and this and that along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, you know, that the quote unquote, you know, the familiar part goes away, and some of the other little things come back that are going to be different this time. Am I staying in the same place? It could be as simple as, am I staying in the same place?
Right.
Right. I don't think there's many cities where I stay in the same hotel every time I visit.
Right.
So I'm actually looking, this time I go back to Hamburg in a couple months, I am staying in the same place as last year.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think that's going to be good for me because it's a work trip and I needed the consistency for work. But
right.
When it's not a work trip, I agree. I do like that sort of variety and that difference and the changing of the experience every time.
So how would you say the mix of your work travel and your pleasure travel balances out? Is it 50-50?
Is the IRS asking or... No, I all of my travel is work at some level.
Yeah, me
and,
too.
And that's a hard thing to get around.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about the digital age, you know, we're always working as we're traveling as well. And, you know, even if we're supposed to be on vacation, we're a digital platform. So we're still, you know, doing stuff to the side and keeping up with social media and all of that stuff. So it's hard to kind of like log off. But
yeah. And, you know, same, right? This is the podcast is obviously a digital adventure. There's the website. There's other sites I write for. There's all of those things. And even if I'm not explicitly producing content at any given point in time.
You're gathering.
I'm gathering. I'm on a plane. I'm learning what's new with the service on Vietjet, Thai Vietjet Airways, right? Like, which interesting product. The plane was half empty for our flight, so that made it a lot more comfortable for everybody on board. But it's, you know, a weird low-cost carrier and doing their thing. So, you know, it's a lot of little things like that. And turning off my brain, it can be hard to get away from that. That's what the gin is for.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Cheers. But yeah, there is that challenge of trying to figure out what is truly a vacation at this point. And could we turn off and not worry about the site for a week and it would probably still be there when we got back? Yeah, it's probably still going to be there.
Yeah. The thing that's interesting about living abroad and, you know, being here where we have to exit every 90 days, I mean, I have a business visa, but I still can't stay in country more than 90 days at a time. So we're constantly having to, like, plan the next trip. And I actually think I quite like that rhythm. I like being home for 2 to 3 months and then going. Because I'm not somebody like you that travels just to travel. I really only go for specific reasons that are, you know, either we're going home to see friends and family or we're doing something that's, you know, design and craft focused for the magazine or for my shop. So sometimes it's frustrating because it's like, all right, I'm really focused on what I need to be doing here, but I have to exit the country.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's actually kind of a good thing as well in the sense that we really explored the region. You know, we use every visa run as an excuse to go to a neighboring country. Yeah. You know,
you're not doing the 20-minute turn in Malaysia.
No, I've never once done that, actually. You know, there's always an event we need to go to where we can plan it or, you know, like this India trip, there was the Jaipur Literary Festival and block printing. The visa run before that, I was back in New York for a show. The time before that, I was in Malaysia because I did a project with their festival there and was part of a exhibition and had a little pop-up shop there as well. So there's always something to do, you know, and if there isn't something explicit that we have to do, it's like, oh, let's go and like hang out in Tokyo for a week, you know?
Gosh, what a burden. You can always find something to do.
That's pretty great, but it is a hustle, right?
Right.
And we're still working when we're there and, you know, like gathering more content and stuff like that.
Well, you were making fun of us earlier this afternoon when we're sitting at the kitchen table here actually working, joking.
We're supposed to be on holiday,
we're supposed to be on holiday, right? This is what holiday looks like sometimes.
Yeah, I know. You know, same here.
It's the price we pay for having a life where we can pick and choose when we want the holidays to be in some ways.
It's actually just hard to, you know, actually give yourself that time. We've been living in Thailand. We've been in this region for 5 years. And do you know we've only been to the beach once?
Wow.
Like that, we had one beach vacation with some friends that came in from New York last Christmas. And that's the only time we've ever actually just like gone down to the beach from here and chilled out.
To be fair, you get way more sunburn there than you do here. It's pretty nice in Chiang Mai.
It's lovely here. I feel quite lucky. Chiang Mai is a really wonderful city. It's very livable. Out of all the places in the region, I'd say the quality of life is great.
Yeah.
The cost of living is low. The mountains are beautiful. I mean, there's tropical greenery around. I mean, we rent a house with, you know, fruit and flowers just outside our window. Scoot around on a little motorbike and, you know, we can get to Bangkok pretty quickly. You know, it's an hour flight to Bangkok, and from Bangkok we can get to the world. So it's quite a good place to be based.
Yeah. Favorite visa run destination trip you've taken in the region in the 5 years you've been here?
They're all different. It's really hard to say. I mean, there's the short hops and then there's the longer ones. Like
short hop, something nearby.
Probably Yangon.
Yeah.
Although I was in a hotel fire in Yangon last time I went, but that was still a nice short visa hop.
With the exception of the part of the building burning down around you.
Sorry?
With the exception of the part that the building literally burned down around you.
With the exception of the near-death experience, I really like it. The longer trips are like to Japan or India. You know, we've done quick trips to Malaysia. I quite like Penang. It's a great city. We've gone for the Georgetown Festival. We usually try to find out what's happening in the region and then, you know, plan a trip around that.
Again, it's that whole planning thing where you think about where you're going before you get there.
Yeah, absolutely. I really never go just to go, you know. Yeah. I always think, okay, what's there that's inspiring to me? I'm either going for the crafts or for eating or both or, you know, all of that stuff. I mean, I used to have a New York friend that was in Singapore, so I go down there. Nice. Yeah, we've been all throughout the region and actually we're quite lucky and if we were still in New York, we wouldn't have explored this area so much. You know, it's the proximity and it's the being forced to go out every 90 days that has allowed us to see so much.
Nice. All right, I'm going to get in trouble for this question, but tell me the story about your monkey adventures.
Oh, right. So that beach trip that we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Some friends of ours came down and, you know, we met at the beach. So we were on Koh Lanta and it's beautiful, a great resort hotel. We got a little boat ride around the island and we pulled into a cove with a beach and it's actually a national park. And we get out, we're snorkeling around. And I noticed there's some monkeys on the shoreline and they're coming out of the forest and I see one on the beach and I'm like, oh, look at the monkeys. And then I notice it's quite close to my beach towel. Then it's in my beach bag and rifling through, pulls out a Ziploc bag. So in this Ziploc bag is my hearing aids.
Oh.
So I realized what was happening and absolutely panicked because I'm quite hard of hearing from birth and I really need them. So... I had to yell and run after this monkey. And of course, he's really fast. He's back in the forest. So my friend and I are in our bathing suits chasing after it. The captain of our little boat is running after it. He tosses a log in the direction of the monkey. And the monkey does drop the bag into a stream, of course. And he retrieves it. And so this boat captain of ours says, here you go, thank you, thank you. Oh, shit, it's actually broken. He crushed one of my hearing aids like a nut. And, of course, this poor monkey thought it was snacks. I mean, it was a Ziploc bag. But it was quite an ordeal because, well, I couldn't hear for the rest of the trip. Luckily, I had a spare pair back here in Chiang Mai. So once I got home, I could put that old pair in, and we sent the broken area back to the States to get repaired. And then, of course, it gets stuck in customs. So the whole ordeal is about 2 months long.
Oh, man.
And, you know, meanwhile, I was going to Bangladesh and doing different work in different areas. And, you know, I'm in these sort of old hearing aids and it's just a bit uncomfortable. But, yeah, between the hotel fire and the monkey who broke my hearing aids, I've had some adventures.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for talking about this stuff. I find the way that you guys do your travel and how it plays out incredibly interesting, and just partly because it's so much different than mine, and also because it really is just interesting stuff that you guys are doing. So
thank you.
Thanks so much for that. For listeners, it's The Kind Craft, I believe, on Twitter and Instagram, and we'll put some links in the show notes to some of the stories and interesting stuff there as well. You can follow Dots, Lines, and Destinations at Dots Lines on Twitter, moredotsmorelines.com. Thanks for listening. Check out The Kind Craft and have a great trip.
Thank you so much.